Today, we ask the question, have miracles ceased? Are miracles being performed today? Yes, every day, but in accord with God's divine law. From the viewpoint of human wisdom, every child that is conceived and born of his mother's womb is a miracle. The origin of man was a miracle. But after his miraculous creation, God gave the law of procreation. Every person who has been born into this world, from the first son of Adam and Eve to the last infant born this very minute, except the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, was miraculously conceived and born according to God's divine law of procreation. There is positively no exception to this law. The birth of Christ was an exception to the law of procreation. It was above the law of nature, as much a miracle as the creation of Adam in the very beginning. In the spiritual realm, every time a child of God is born into the kingdom of Christ, according to human wisdom, it is a miracle. The Bible speaks of all those who have been born again as being new creatures in Christ. But every child of God born is born of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, as declared in 1 Peter 1, 22-23. That's God's law, and there is no exception to that divine law of spirit procreation. Yes, it was a miracle, but in accord to God's divine, established, irrevocable law. No man, no law of man, no doctrines and commandments of men can produce a child of God separate and apart from this order that God has given, born of the seed of His kingdom, the Word of God. Even during the days of miracles, during New Testament times, when wondrous and miraculous works were being performed by the power of the Holy Spirit through men, God's divine law of regeneration was not set aside. You may ask, does the Bible teach divine healing? The answer is yes, my friends, if you understand what we mean. But not miraculous healings as were done during the days of the early church as we have been discussing in these lessons. The Apostle Paul referred to Luke as a beloved physician in Colossians 4, verse 14. Jesus himself declared that they who are sick need a physician, Matthew 9, verse 12. God created the body by divine law. Man is of divine origin. The whole and entire body of man is constituted by law. Our God set in order definite laws for the function of all His creation. When these laws are violated, the consequences are inevitable. Because of certain violations and complications, it becomes necessary to operate upon the body of man in order to heal the body. All the organs of the body operate in that regulated sphere. When the laws of nature regulating their functions are violated, reconciliation in harmony with those laws must be accomplished to heal and restore proper function. Man's achievement in science and development of useful instruments are avenues placed at his disposal by God through which man may learn more about God's laws regulating the human body, thus accomplishing healing in harmony with God's laws of nature. God is not going to send down a special instrument with which to perform a certain operation upon anybody. But through the proper function of the mind of man, He has discovered and put together the useful instruments which were created by God in the beginning and reality for the healing and the benefit of man's body. God placed the minerals in the earth and created every substance, known and unknown to man. We make the scientific discoveries and apply the benefits to mankind, using all types of medicines and applications to the human body. Yes, that is divine healing. May I give you a personal experience? A few years ago, after major surgery, I was considered to be dead for a few minutes. The doctors could not detect a heartbeat nor a breath during those moments. I was thought to be dead, but I was healed. Not miraculously healed through some instrument of some modern healer, but healed through the providence of God, according to His laws, regulating the body which He created, with the assistance of doctors and medical application of those things which reconcile the organs of the body with the laws which God gave to regulate them. Without that, I'm sure that I would not be here today delivering this address. God created man and every law of nature and every scientific fact of medical science for man's benefit, and it should be recognized as from God. when we use the means God has given, including medicine, surgery, and other benefits for the healing and repairing of the body, that is divine healing. Remember, Jesus said, "They who are sick need a physician." Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12. These miraculous works of the Spirit were never intended to be permanent in the church. They were given in the infancy of the church to last, the Bible says, until that which is perfect is come. Having admonished the Corinthians to covet the best gifts, Paul added, "I show unto you a more excellent way." 1 Corinthians 12:31. Of all the gifts in the Corinthian church, some were to pass away and some were to abide, the apostle declared. He makes the comparison in these words, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels," no doubt referring to the divers kinds of tongues of chapter 12 and verse 10, "and have not love, I am become as sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy," no doubt the prophecy of chapter 12 and verse 10, "and understand all mysteries," no doubt the word of wisdom as referred to in chapter 12 and verse 8, "and all knowledge, and though I have all faith," no doubt miraculous faith of chapter 12 and verse 9, "so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing." 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the first three verses. In these verses, the apostle appraises the value of love over that of miraculous gifts. There must be a reason. The gifts of the Spirit were transitory. They were to pass away, the Bible says. Love was superior, in contrast to the impermanent miraculous gifts, because it, that is love, abideth forever, the apostle declared. My friends, are you listening? It is an incontrovertible fact, revealed in the Scriptures, that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit were to cease. Paul declared, "Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. The apostle emphatically declared, and I say again, are you listening? Listen. "They shall cease, shall fail, shall vanish away, shall be done away." Those are words, ladies and gentlemen, that you will find in your Bible. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge, supernatural knowledge, of course, were all to cease at the same time, and they have ceased. The inspired apostle even suggests the time when miracles were to cease. He said, "When that which is perfect is come." To understand the true meaning of this statement is well to understand the meaning of the word perfect. Thayer's Greek-English Lexicon, page 618, defines this word as used in the original Greek as meaning brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, perfect, end of quotation. There can be no doubt about it. Paul would have all men to know that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit would end with the completeness of the revelation of the gospel of Christ. James refers to this completeness of the revelation of the gospel as the perfect law of liberty. James 1, verse 25. The inspired language of Jude is further proof of the cessation of the miracles. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." Jude 3. Surely there can be no doubt about the affirmation in this text of the complete revelation of God's will. The theory of progressive additional revelations is condemned beyond doubt, and Paul adds that the curse of Almighty God rests upon anyone who would pervert, add to, or take from the Word of God. Read very carefully, Galatians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. There was a period of revelation to the saints, and those revelations were confirmed by the signs of the miracles performed by the saints. But miracles are neither needed nor performed today. Jude exhorts that we should earnestly contend for the faith. of the gospel, of course, which was once and for all time delivered unto the saints, he declared. Mr. Thayer, an authority on New Testament Greek, defines the original Greek word as meaning once, one time, used of what is done as to be perpetual validity and never need repetition once for all. Thayer's Greek English Lexicon, page 54. This same word, once, is used in Hebrews 9:28 with reference to the atonement of Christ. It says, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." The death of our Lord was once for all, a perpetual validity, which never need repetition. The atonement of Christ was once for all, complete, never to be repeated. The faith of the gospel, the word of God, the faith, was once and for all time delivered unto the saints, which never need repetition. There will be just as much need for the Son of God to die on the cross again as need for miracles and healings today to confirm the word of God. They were terminated with the fulfillment of their purpose when the gospel was once for all delivered unto the saints. Miracles never need repetition, today nor tomorrow. The purpose of miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit was to witness and confirm the revelation of God's Word, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Therefore, when the revelations were terminated, the spiritual gifts likewise were terminated. With the completeness of the revelation of the gospel, the church had grown from infancy to maturity. Paul illustrated this fact by comparing that to that of childhood with maturity in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. From childhood to maturity, prophecy and supernatural knowledge were fragmentary and imperfect. Therefore, infant accompaniments of the gifts of miracles, tongues, and the word of knowledge. They were only given in part. Now they have attained that which that was to come, and that is the perfect law of liberty. And that which was in part, he says, has been done away. The Apostle Paul furthermore declared, the duration of the miraculous period of the church and the purpose of the spiritual gifts in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4 is beyond doubt. The purpose and duration are revealed in these words. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Now notice, are you listening? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yes, miracles have ceased. At the writing of James, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, healing was practiced in the year of 60 A.D., about that time. And then, in the year of A.D. 64, Paul referred to Luke as the beloved physician. That's found in Colossians 4, verses 14 and 15. And then, the year about A.D. 65, Paul recommended medicine for Timothy. In A.D. 65, Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletum. Miracles had come to an end. We have no record of any miracles and healings following the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. The books of the New Testament written after the destruction of Jerusalem include 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, written in the year of A.D. 90, and Revelation, written in the year of A.D. 96. There is no record of miracles and spiritual gifts being practiced or performed in the church in these epistles. There can be no doubt about it. Miracles, which had been given to confirm the Word of God, had already ceased. The Word of God had already been confirmed. It seems evident that miracles had become limited and were even ceased a long while gone at the writing of the Apostle on this occasion. With the gospel revelation complete, established, and confirmed, confirming its perpetual validity, there is no need for additional revelations. There can be no subtractions. Listen to these final words of admonition from the word of the Lord. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. And then this admonition, whosoever goeth onward, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. When men claim to perform miracles today, such is a denial of the power and validity of the gospel of Christ. There is no other gospel. To pervert the gospel or preach another gospel, claim to be revealed from heaven, is to stand accursed before Almighty God, as declared by the inspired apostle in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9.